Murphy and Andy sent you.
Keith Murphy.
This is a big, hairy American winning machine.
Andy fails.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
It's the Murphy and Andy Show.
Shoots a three.
Powered by AD.
British Young Cinderella.
On 1460 KXNO. And now 106.3 FM.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO and 106.3. This is Scott Sipker. I'm in for Keith Murphy today because he'll be here later this week. And Andy Fales, who you know, he also does TV. And he'll be over here in a few minutes.
Wait, so, is Andy on TV?
I think he's on there like part-time or something.
Okay.
Again, I've never seen him. Evidently, he does the morning show. I have never once seen him on the morning show.
So I've seen him several times on the morning show, but it's almost always like when I've been in the hospital.
You've been in the hospital a lot?
Well,
oh, not you. You mean you're probably there visiting.
Yeah, like we were there several times, like for, you know, the birth of a couple different kids. And so what I'm saying is in the hospital, you're up early in the morning and the TV only has so many channels. You don't have access to your normal kind of cadre of entertainment options. And so you flip on Today in Iowa and you figure out what's going on.
It sounds like what you just said, and I know you didn't mean it this way, is that if you have no other choice, you'll tune in to watch your good, dear friend Andy Fales do his job.
Of course.
What is interesting, that talking about watching TV while you're in the hospital, one of the humorous things that happened when my dad was getting chemotherapy when he had leukemia. I know you're thinking, what could be funny about that? Well, actually, there's plenty. But one of the things was he would watch. He was in the hospital for so long, months. He would watch The Price is Right every day. And I got a kick out of it whenever I'd watch it with him, and he would notice the penny change. It would always go up.
Yes.
But it does change. The price of the baking soda or whatever goes from $3.28, and then like in 2 weeks it goes to $3.29. And my dad picked up on all this, and I thought, well, if stupid cancer wasn't in the way, we could be rich. You could go to The Price is Right.
Yeah, I like that. Have you seen there's a documentary about the guy who beat The Price is Right? He basically did that. He watched every day and was just obsessed with it. And he finally got on the show, and he knew like the exact price of every single thing. He won both showcases. He won all the stuff because he could add up in his head, well, I've seen that boat. I've seen that vacation. I know how much they are. He added it all up in his head. He got everything like exactly right.
I have not seen that, but that does sound fascinating.
It's a fun documentary.
But it's another thing that is a lot of fun, of course, are fireworks. And it turns out there's still two more chances to win free fireworks from the Iowa Fireworks Farm. Just listen for the fireworks sound and sometime during the show, right,
yes.
AD?
Yeah, not right
and
now.
Not right now.
Unless you hear it right now.
What? Yeah, I didn't hear it.
Yep, nope.
And then when you hear it, though, then the next step is to call in.
Yeah, 284-5966. Give us a call. Caller number four today will win $50 in free fireworks at the Iowa Fireworks Farm. It's down about 25 minutes south of here on I-35, right on the exit to New Virginia, exit 43. It's Iowa's biggest fireworks store.
I have not been down there, but I probably should venture there at some point.
Wade, who runs it, I follow them on Facebook, and they posted a thing yesterday, I think it was. A guy came in and spent just a ridiculous amount of money. He was buying, I mean, gobs of fireworks, like more fireworks than you would need for one of these like municipal 4th of July fireworks shows. Whoever's friends with that guy, whoever's hanging out with that guy July 4th is going to have a good time.
They didn't post his name or his address or anything?
No, they didn't do any of that.
Well, if that man is listening to the show, please call in right now. If you're having a party, we'd like to get invited. Something odd happened to me today, AD, as I'm going to go off script here for a second. I got a bloody nose today, which hasn't happened in years.
Who hit you?
No one did, and I was by myself, and then all of a sudden I thought, what is that sensation? And then I noticed, and then I was left with, do I remember how to stop a bloody nose? It's been a long time. So I went with the strategy of just taking toilet paper and like balling it up into a cone shape and then just jamming it right up there. But I know you're supposed to pinch your nose and maybe like lean forward or put your head back. I can't remember which one it is, but I feel like nobody who gets a bloody nose ever does that.
Yeah, like, no, I've never seen anybody outside of a movie or a TV show. I've never seen anybody actually do that.
Yeah, you do. Nobody does. Right. Most jam people just
shove Kleenex or tissue up their nose and just wait for it to go away.
Hold it. One thing I used to do when I was younger, I got more bloody noses. This is kind of gross, but I don't understand how this worked. But when I had a bloody nose, I would then just blow my nose. Mm. And a bunch of stuff we don't need to describe came out, and my bloody nose stopped every time. But that doesn't make sense to me, because the whole point of pinching your nose, I believe, is to clog the blood up.
Yeah, you would think so.
So I don't know how this... Maybe I have a superpower I don't know.
I don't want to say I've never had a bloody nose. I'm sure I have, but I don't recall ever having just a random sitting there and all of a sudden my nose is bleeding. And I know this, it's a common thing. It happens to my wife. It happened to you today. It's the most upsetting thing that we just don't take seriously at all. Like, you just started bleeding out of your head today randomly, and you're just like, oh yeah, put some Kleenex up there and it went away. Now I'm here doing a radio show. Like, go to the hospital. What? And I get that it's apparently not a big deal more often than not.
It's the check engine light of the human body.
But if my eyes just started bleeding, or if I just reached up to my ear and there's just blood trickling out of my head, I would freak out. But bloody nose, we're just like, oh, yeah.
This is a really good point I had to consider.
Bloody noses happen sometimes.
When I was a kid, I feel like the thing that they told us in school was to actually pinch your nose but lean your head back. And what I recall happening then...
Probably goes back in
your
sinuses,
you just get a bunch of blood
mouth,
in
your throat.
Yeah. So I feel like that's not... They got something wrong in the decades since. I hope that's advanced beyond. But hey, we should probably actually do a radio show that's about sports in some way. So we should do the one at one.
The one at one.
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 With Murph and Andy. Powered by Kaburski Brothers Lawn Care.
How's your lawn doing, Scott?
Pretty dang good, actually. Yeah, yeah, it looks good. I have some patches that I need to do repair, and springtime is a bit of an odd moment because the temperatures fluctuate so much and water levels are certain. So you have hits and misses. So I have three spots I needed to repair this spring. Only one of them got to be about 75% healed. So the fall is definitely the best time to do that repair work. Get the seed down and water profusely. So I got some work ahead of me, but 95% of my lawn right now. Woo!
Nice.
I just mowed yesterday with the diagonal lines backyard, and that was followed up after I had just gone horizontal, and before that I went vertical. And you have to mow so frequently, or at least I do right now, that all three of those lines are coming through in different ways.
So you got a good pattern.
It looks really nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, really nice. But if you do need help with your lawn, call up Kaburski Brothers.
Kaburski Brothers. KaburskiBrosLawnCare.com.
So the NBA is it's a bit of in a weird spot right now. As I'm watching the games, there's a changing of the guard. And I know, AD, you also are watching the NBA and having the same sort of sensation about where's LeBron?
Yeah.
Where's Steph?
It's interesting because I've been an NBA fan for a while, but it feels like over the past decade or so, it's really kind of picked up in popularity, at least locally. And I wonder how much of that has just been because LeBron, Steph Curry, and those teams, kind of the teams they build around them, regardless of where they are, have been so involved. This is the first year since 2010 that we will have an NBA Finals without LeBron or Steph. That's a wild stat. That's a full decade of NBA championship games with one of the two biggest stars in the sport. And for Steph, you have Kevin Durant with him, Draymond Green. Like, they kind of made that whole team a thing. With LeBron, LeBron carries everything, but then you got the pieces around him.
You're forgetting
about
Kyrie, Matthew Dellavedova. Don't forget about him.
Right, exactly. But the big three down in Miami, obviously last year with the Lakers and AD. So these two guys have really been atop the league at a time where I feel like it's blown up in popularity.
And
now they're not there anymore.
And LeBron is such a divisive character. So many people hate him.
Yeah.
And
I feel
others,
like the Warriors kind of carried some of that too. Like, I liked the Warriors for a while. I didn't like them when Kevin Durant was there. This last year and a half or so, I've kind of liked them again a little bit more.
That's the exact trajectory I was on. I rooted for them. And then when Durant went over, I hated them. Mostly, I just don't like Kevin Durant, which we can get in later in the show, what I think about the Brooklyn Nets. But, and then when they goes away, I was rooting for Golden State because Durant was hurt. I was rooting for Golden State to beat Toronto. That was mostly because Nick Nurse is from Kemper. But I really, Steph isn't really that divisive of a character. He's a great showman, and he shoots the ball like nobody has ever seen before. And
yeah, it's hard to dislike him as a person.
You know, the chomping on the mouth guard is maybe one thing, but you're really parsing.
Find ways. I mean, yes. You have to parse to find things to hate about LeBron too, in my opinion. But a lot of people seem to do it. But
they certainly do, and it's all based in Jordan stuff, in my opinion. That's where that goes. But it is interesting to see these teams that are now competing for the title with all of those people out. You've written down here, Downs, that Milwaukee hasn't won a championship since 71. The Hawks haven't won since 58. The Clippers, Jazz, Nets, Nuggets, and Suns have never won a title.
Yeah, the most recent title of the eight teams remaining is the 76ers, who won in 1983. Scott, were you alive in 1983?
I was one.
Same here, just barely alive. So the only team remaining that has a championship in our lifetimes is the 76ers, and they won the year before the NBA playoffs expanded to 16 teams. So in the 16-team era, which now runs almost 40 years, none of the eight teams remaining have won a title, and five of the teams remaining don't have a single title in their franchise history. So, like, no matter what happens, there will be a new team atop the NBA this year.
Well, let's throw out a quickie poll that talks about this.
So does the lack of established teams and stars make you more or less interested in the NBA playoffs? More, parity is good. Less, who the hell are these guys? Or, nah, I don't watch the NBA. And it's interesting because I do think the remaining teams have so many young stars, so many interesting guys, that if you can actually sit down and watch these games, you will start to fall in love with some of these guys. But they're not guys that are going to... You can't just watch highlights and be like, oh yeah, I now love Trae Young. You kind of have to watch him play a few games like you did for Curry and LeBron back when they were younger. It's just you kind of have to go into it with more of an open mind, because there are some really, really fun stars on these teams right now. I'm excited for these next two rounds.
There's a mix of the philosophies of Kobe. MJ, of course, is always there. LeBron, certainly. And Steph Curry has changed the way that people shoot. And now you see it throughout the league. And now maybe we bring in the other co-host of the show, Andy Fales. What do you think, Andy? I know what's going to win this poll. I think it's going to be I don't watch the NBA. That's going to be my guess.
I think it's a good question. I do. I think it is interesting, and you guys are totally right. This is sort of a uncharted waters that we're sailing into, because it's been a long time since the NBA has just sort of been up for grabs.
Yeah, it hasn't been wide open in
by
a long
stars
time.
And like all new stars and all new teams, both. You know, oftentimes it's been a new team, but it's because LeBron is moved to some new place.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, really not since the Warriors kind of got good, and even at that time we still had a lot of established stars kind of going along. I think for now it's less interested for me, but that's temporary, because there isn't any base to root for the Jazz or the Clippers or the Hawks or even the Nets. I mean, even though they have a bunch of established stars, there aren't any Nets fans around here. There really aren't any Nets fans outside of New York.
Well, and just wait.
Even that, they're the second fiddle.
You just for watch. Sure. You're going to start seeing a bunch of Brooklyn gear walking around every city. And like, Keith is going to come back from vacation with a Brooklyn Nets shirt. That's what Keith's going to have.
There's a distinct possibility
over
there.
Under for when Keith has a Nets shirt on.
By
it's like 3 months.
I'm going to say
before or after they win the title.
July 15th. By July 15th.
Okay. He'll tell you about some distant connection he's got to the Nets. So, yeah, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of that. He actually did sow some of the ground. He sowed some of it a little bit before he left. He mentioned being the Dr. J fan.
That's right.
Back in the day, because they were the New York Nets then. In the ABA days, they weren't New Jersey.
And he'll find like a vintage shirt that's cool.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Dr. J. Yeah, from the ABA, walk around carrying a red, white, and blue basketball or something like that. But, I mean, really, this is good for the parity of the league. That is good, I mean, ultimately, because it spreads the wealth around. and then it gets big markets like New York and Atlanta back into the mix after having been out forever. I mean, Atlanta's never been a player. Even in the days of Dominique Wilkins, they were no threat to win a title. So, I mean, you have a huge market there suddenly interested again. Even Dallas, you know, has some hope for the future. Denver, pretty good size market that's in the mix now. Those are good things. But, you know, for the most part, it's people are just going to have to kind of deal with a little lull as the transition happens. And you just have to go through that every now and then.
Yeah, I just wish, as an NBA fan, and I want to see it grow in popularity, I wish Doncic and Lillard were still in the second round. Because those two, to me, they're so exciting to watch that it's too bad their teams weren't able to be a little bit better.
But Dame's getting old, man. Like, Dame's at the tail end of his career. I know he's really good and he is fun to watch, but, like, the future of the league is not Damian Lillard. It's Doncic and it's... The Joker.
Hopefully Zion. Cross my fingers for Zion. John Morant.
Maybe not the Greek Freak unless he moves out of Milwaukee.
Oof.
You wonder what that's going to look like, too, because there are guys that you just named, a number of them, who are going to be looking to move. I mean,
yes.
Giannis is not going to win in Milwaukee. I mean,
they might not win another game.
It's too bad. He's not going to win a title in Milwaukee, so at what point... He's been kind of the ultimate team player for the city of Milwaukee up to this point, where he's said, I want to be there, I'm going to live in Milwaukee, and he's, you know, holed up in this cool penthouse right downtown. He hasn't moved out to, you know, the shore, the north suburbs. He's stayed with it. But how long do you do that? I mean, it just really looks like they're not going to get it done there.
And especially when...
They
guys
got rocked last night.
Oh, my God.
Rocked off their axis.
They were favored by a point going into that game.
They got smoked.
They were down by 40.
Harden
didn't even play.
And you wonder, especially because right now there's not a lot of pressure on guys Giannis's age to have a bunch of titles. But this year, young guys, somebody young is going to win a title, I guess, other than maybe the Nets. When it's just LeBron and Steph sucking up all the titles, it's like, well, I can stay in Milwaukee. It's not that big of a deal. But once these other guys start winning championships and you're sitting there in Milwaukee without one, and all of a sudden you start to see your career play out and you've toiled away in Milwaukee and don't have anything to show for it, that's when the pressure is really going to start amping up, when these other guys become big, big stars because they're on good teams and big markets.
And so the question is, which team is first to put a number of those guys together on one team? Because the Nets are proving, once again, something that we already knew. It's not a sure thing, but it's a good formula. You can put a dream team or a half dream team of stars together in the NBA and win a title.
A big three is all you need. You have a big three, you can win.
And Brooklyn, they got all these really good role players too.
Yeah,
that's
Blake Griffin.
There's no guarding them. You just cannot. Yeah,
they look like they're going to win the title.
Yeah, it's kind of how they play, right? If they play well enough to win, they're going to win. Nobody's going to stop them. The only thing that can stop them is, well, a Harden injury and maybe some
Durant.
Bad games.
Like, that's the thing. If Durant gets hurt, then maybe. But at this point, it just is. It's an interesting time.
You wonder. So, what are the Lakers going to do to?
Try to
get somebody else, but then you know the salary cap comes into play. Are you going to be able to get guys like LeBron to take a salary cut? I mean, I think LeBron and AD together is a good nucleus, but you need more than
you
that.
Need
than
one more stud, yeah.
Especially street clothes. He can't stay on the floor. Right. And I've watched. And this isn't trying to be cocky. I'm guessing of everybody listening to this radio program right now, I have watched Anthony Davis play more basketball games than anybody. I've watched him for hundreds when he was at the Pelicans, and he's so hurt all the time, and it's really frustrating. And a lot of it is you watch him play, and for me, it's like he doesn't understand how to play really tough-nosed. So then it's like he's faking. He's like, oh, I know I need to be more aggressive. And then he tries to be aggressive, and that's when you get hurt, is when you're trying to be aggressive, not when you are aggressive, if that makes sense. And it's just so frustrating to watch him, because it's like all talent that he succeeded on, and it's just he doesn't have that killer instinct.
As far as what we've got from here on out, it's kind of an opportunity for a number of these teams to establish themselves as sort of the next interesting thing on the block in the NBA. I don't know that they're the next big thing, the next interesting thing to pay attention to, because they've all got one stud, you know, studly star, one real star. I don't know that any of them have enough, other than the Nets. And I mean, those guys are just, they're so associated with other teams. I don't know that the Nets are ever going to be able to claim Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden. I mean, they're just, that's a place that collected them for a year, a couple of years. But these other teams, I mean, who are the Jazz? Who are the Nuggets? Who are the Suns? I mean, I think there are a lot of people flat out don't know. They know a few of these stars. They've seen highlights. I don't know that they know anything about their history. I mean, who out there knows a lot about Nuggets or Suns history?
Nobody. Probably not even half.
Some good teams in the 90s.
Denver, Phoenix.
All right.
Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, they were good.
The Nuggets, you got to go back to the early 80s.
Yeah, they had
Mark Aguirre.
No, they had Melo, but they never really did anything with him.
Mm-mm.
That was kind of their big claim to fame of this century.
Dan Issel. You got to go way back. And those Nuggets teams never did anything. So, I mean, the Nuggets are like they're an unfinished. They're a book without a cover. I mean, you don't even know. You couldn't pick them off the shelf at this point. They can kind of do whatever they want, which is interesting because, you know, so many times with sports, sort of fan bases outside their given market are already established. You started to know the story already. You know what your opinion is of a franchise. I feel like in the NBA, a lot of these teams that we have participating right now, the jury's out.
Yeah. Like these eras could become the era that we all remember about the Suns or the Nuggets.
I'm looking at Dallas. My understanding, I haven't looked it up, but that they were saving a lot of money to make a run at the Greek Freak. Obviously, they didn't get him. They have a lot of cap space. Their three highest players right now are Porzingis, J.J. Redick, and probably Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, it sounds like Porzingis is on the block.
He's gonna be gone. You know Mark Cuban is gonna get some good players to come play with Doncic. And if you are a star, you want to play for Mark Cuban. He treats his players the best. Mm-hmm. And Doncic is looking like he has the potential to be, in a couple years, the best player in the NBA. So I'm looking at Dallas being this next possible team, unless the Pelicans with Zion can really, you know, thwart the plan.
All right. Well, we have the quickie poll up, and we'll check that at the end of the show. When we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, the college football playoff could be expanding. We'll talk about that coming up.
Deep experience.
Fairway online shopping. That's right. Add or coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
Let's play Guess Who's Birthday on the Murph and Andy Show, powered by Cellular
Let's
Advantage.
Let's do it. Andy, you're up first. Guess Who's Birthday?
On the house, tip of sound, swinging this, strictly hip-hop, boy. Singing this, bringing this to the entire nation. Black, white, red, brown, feel the vibration. Come on.
That's Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, it is. Hope he's not
okay,
in town.
Okay, does he fly into a rage when this comes on the stereo?
I believe so. So, yeah, I hope
he's
not.
That's the way it seems, but that's a pretty danceable song. I like to believe that if he's by himself, he pulls over and starts busting him.
I would hope by this point in his life. I know, like, 20 years ago, it really irked him as he was trying to become an actor
really?
And move out of the Marky Mark phase. I would hope at this point he could kind of embrace it and realize, hey, man, you would be the less famous brother if you didn't have that.
And he was.
He's a good actor, and I like him, but
he was the less famous brother until...
When the first time he was in town appearing for Hy-Vee, we got a terse email to the newsroom at WHO 13, saying, by no means, under no circumstances, are we to refer to him as Marky Mark or ask him about the Funky Bunch.
It's just the name, right? It's just the name, Marky Mark.
We all know that's the last thing you say.
Yes.
If you don't want anybody to bring that up.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
If you want it to go away, you don't call attention to it. All right, it's Mark Wahlberg. He's 40. He's 50.
He is 50.
Oh, come
well
on.
Done. Scott, guess whose birthday?
My favorite soprano saxophonist.
Smooth jazz right there.
That is Mr. G.
Wonder if
Kenny
he's
G.
A, wonder if right. he's ever too smooth. Somebody goes, Kenny, that's almost too smooth.
You're roughing it up.
It's rough that up a little bit. Rough up that jazz.
He legitimately is a world-class talent that mostly people just laugh at. Yeah, and is it because of his hair?
Well, I think just in the 90s,
it's
the whole
hair
thing became...
And you got this whole range of saxophones, and he goes with the
soprano.
One that looks most like a clarinet.
Yeah, it's definitely the least cool saxophone. How old is Kenneth G?
This is a great question. I'm glad you're asking it. I don't have any idea. He's been around a long time. So he's probably, I don't know, 20 years older than me. So I'm going to say he is 58.
He is 65.
Oh, my good. What does Kenny G look like right now?
He looks pretty good, actually, for a 65-year-old.
A lot of surgery, maybe?
All right, Andy, guess whose birthday?
Do not sabotage me.
Oh, aye, Captain, you got it.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot.
Okay, since he had the last word there, I'm going to say that's Paul Giamatti.
It is, yeah.
That's a great movie. Sideways. Paul Giamatti is 50. Let's see, man. He was in Singles. He's 55.
He's 54.
Ooh,
so
almost
perfect
a perfect cake.
Scott, guess his birthday.
As Officer Eugene Goodman led the mob away from the Senate chamber, security rushed Vice President and his family to a secure location.
That is Mr. Mike Pence.
Yeah, it narrows it down how many mobs have tried to kill the vice president inside the Capitol. It's only happened once. How old is the former vice president?
That's so not funny.
I saw he's going to be coming back to Iowa soon.
He is.
Yeah.
Speaking of the family, caucus season started.
2024 caucus season.
All right. Can't wait. Oh, I'm going to say...
We'll embrace him now.
Mike Pence is... God, man, he's had work done. I'm going to say...
I don't think he's had any work done.
No, I think he's had his cheekbones raised. Yeah, he's got definitely Botox. And his age is 63.
62, but Andy, you are...
Oh, I'm a big bandit.
Well played. All right, Andrew, you want to tee up this next topic? You've done a lot of the reading on this. Let's talk some college football.
Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports reports that discussions are underway to expand the college football playoff, and they're not talking 8 teams like a lot of people thought they would probably go to. They're talking 12 teams. Now, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. It's not a done deal yet. There's still a lot to be worked out. These are just kind of the conversations that are being had and the momentum that he is seeing moving towards this 12-team playoff. They think this could happen as soon as 2023. So not this year, not next year, but 3 years from now, you could have a 12-team playoff. It would include 6 automatic qualifiers. So you'd have the 5 Power 5 conference champions. You'd have the top-ranked group of 5 team. I guess they would go by the college football playoffs on the ranking there, assuming more than one team is in the running. But then you'd have 6 at-large qualifiers. So that would, the SEC team that loses to Alabama in the championship game, the Big Ten team, blah, blah, blah. So the top 4 seeds then would have a bye in the first round, and teams 5 through 8 would host teams 9 through 12 in on-campus home games, which I think is a really cool kind of aspect of this. The final 8 then would move into existing bowl game locations and those games for the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and then you'd have the national championship game at the end. The thought was mostly that as they started to talk about an 8-team playoff, the worry from teams the schools in the SEC and ACC and probably the Big Ten to some extent, with 6 automatic qualifiers in an 8-team playoff, you could have a very good SEC team not make the playoff, and a top 20 Pac-12 team that wins the Pac-12. Like Oregon last year, it was a great win for Iowa State in the Fiesta Bowl. Oregon was not a legitimate Pac-12 champion caliber team.
Right.
But they're going to get in under this new format. And so they wanted to have more room. And the smaller or Pac-12 or Power 5 schools aren't going to do it without automatic qualifiers. They want to make sure that one of their schools gets in no matter what. And so really the only way to reconcile these two things, it's like another great compromise, is move to 12 and make everybody happy.
I like this idea. I think one of the reasons that it appealed, there are two reasons that it appealed to me immediately. First of all, I just think more is better.
Yes.
At this point. I think eight is not enough. I also don't like the idea that you can just absolutely see what's coming if they go to eight teams. People will like that, and then they'll want more.
Yes.
I feel like if you jump straight ahead to 12, there is less of a chance that you will have to quickly add or quickly change. I guess that's what I don't want. I want things to settle in and people to get used to it. I think we've gotten used to the college football playoff, and we've reached the point where we're like, okay, it's too predictable. It's too predictable. We know we basically know two or three of the teams every year. There's maybe one question mark, and it's not that big a question mark. So we want something that's where it seems like it's a wider field. It's more like the NCAA basketball tournament. We know that it will not ultimately turn out to be that way. It's still football. It's a totally different sport. The haves have more than the have-nots. It's a football game. It's harder for one team to just have a good day in football. But this way, get something set up. Maybe there are a few hiccups the first couple of years they do this, but let them work that out. But stick with the program so that we can all kind of move into the new norm.
And this will generate a lot more money. I'm hopeful that some of that money will start trickling down to the players.
That's a lot of weeks of playoffs.
And now we're going to be playing a lot more. This is going to do nothing to make it less predictable. You're still going to have Alabama, Clemson, probably almost every single year. It maybe even increases the chances of that, because now the regular season for those teams means essentially nothing. There's no, a two-loss Alabama is still getting in to a 12-team playoff in most scenarios. So that, for competitive reasons, I don't see this as any sort of solution. But for entertainment purposes, which is, I guess, the whole point of this distraction we call college sports, is, might as well. Sounds fun. Let's get some more games going in Ames and Iowa City and have fun for a couple extra weeks until those teams ultimately lose to the Alabamas and Clemsons.
It also kind of adds like a de facto week of playoffs to championship week, because those games then become play-in games to the playoff. Now, in a 12-team scenario, several of the losers of those games will ultimately get at-large bids and be able to play their way in. One of the hiccups with this that people reading it today and thinking about it are like, is the bye week thing and then the home location. So if you're a top four team, you're essentially, you lose out on a big home game, mm-hmm. a big home gate. The community loses out on all of that. I mean, it'd be awesome if Iowa or Iowa State gets into that top nine, 5 or 5-8, and gets to host a playoff game in Ames or Iowa City. How incredible would that be? But if you're in Birmingham, Alabama, that's where Alabama is, right?
Tuscaloosa.
Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't, it's all the same. If you're in Alabama, it's like, well, we're going to be top four every year. We will never get a home playoff game. It'll always be in one of these bowl games. Like, where's the incentive in that for us?
Well, they will win their game and then get to play an extra game later in the following weeks. That's where they can make up their money.
I don't know that in football, dealing with a season structure that it does not have this type of playoff structure in mind, that you're going to find a perfect solution. I mean, you only have so much time. You can't just add on weeks and weeks to the college football season butting up against the Christmas holiday. You can't move the whole semester ahead of time. Now, you could dump some of those, stupid non-conference games that we don't care about and don't need to help you a little bit here and there. You could get rid of a bye week and condense the schedule that way. But, we all know all the other things that are built into that stuff as well. You got home gates in there and profits for other teams. But, we want more college football playoffs. We like the college football playoff. It has worked. It has ultimately done its job in determining the best teams to pit for the national title. It's given us a national title game. And we want more of it.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a year in the college football playoff where it felt like the best team
didn't play.
Didn't have a chance. And in the BCS, it felt like that often.
There have been plenty of years where it felt like team didn't get a chance to see what it could do against those teams.
Sure. And that'll happen with this, too. The 13th ranked team will be upset. And, you know, knowing where our teams regularly finish in their good years, we're going to be left out, you know, several times, I would imagine, over a couple of decades of if this were to be implemented. But, I mean, top 12 is that's reasonable for Iowa and Iowa State. It's not realistic every year. An eight, a 14 playoff, I'm not sure
reasonable
is realistic
for our schools, no.
Either of our schools. No. I mean, even when Iowa was 12-0, they were in the talk there, but and we're close.
It wouldn't have been a good game.
No.
And the only reason you could say it'll never happen is because it has never happened.
18, you could be like, you know, you strike lightning in a bottle, you catch lightning in a bottle, you could get there. 12 team, you could kind of talk yourself into, hey, we don't even have to win the Big Ten if you're Iowa. You have to win the Big Ten West. You know, you could probably lose one game there. Play Ohio State close, and you could get in.
Yeah, so what does it mean to really to make the playoff? I mean,
everything, Scott. What do you mean? What does it mean?
I mean, you're still not competing for a national title.
You're competing for a national title.
No. You're not.
That's what the playoff
is. You get in, and you get to make some extra money and have some more fun, and that seems like enough.
Well, what excites me is the idea, let's say your team has one of those buys or you know, whatever, they don't play in the first week. Watching another college football playoff game that will directly impact your team, how much fun would that be? I mean, we do that all the time in basketball, and it's great fun. Because who knows what happens? Maybe your path gets easier.
And then
it's just not something we know in college football.
And recruiting and money and things like that, this is good for all of those things. Any team that gets in will be able to kind of ride on that for a while. So a lot of power or group of five schools. Because I'd imagine in several seasons, you'll have multiple group of five schools in a 12-team playoff. You have the automatic qualifier, but then you'll have the UCF team that is ranked in the top 12 but isn't the top ranked power or group of five.
And I don't know that this makes the regular season any less significant. I mean, it's still a 12-game season. That's not very many games.
People
they still
make that
matter a lot.
It means one loss wouldn't eliminate you, which I don't like about college football anyway. But people do seem to make that argument anytime playoffs expand as well. The regular season gets watered down. And like I think to an extent there's some truth to that, but does any baseball fan feel like the regular season is watered down because they have multiple wild card teams?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You care less about the Cubs tonight because two wild card teams. Are
I think
make the
if you
the
win
National
the World
League,
Series as the division champion means way more than winning if you're the wild card.
I've said way dumber things.
I promise you. But it is the regular season. You have 162 games. That's where I think it's different. College football, you still have a small sample size, so it's fine. If you played 162 games and had 400 teams get in, then it would be a little bit different.
I like the idea. I hope they continue to talk about this. I hope it picks up steam.
Right to 12.
I do too.
I agree with you completely.
I think it's cool to see how this maybe fleshes out. It's a good time to talk about this kind of thing. All right. When we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, we throw it.
It's time for Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show.
Let's throw it down, Scott. We're into the second round of the NBA playoffs. We got the Jazz, Clippers, Suns, Nuggets, 76ers, Hawks, Nets, Bucks. Which series is most compelling?
Well, it was going to be the Nets and Bucks. That game, that has not turned out.
It is not going to be that.
I'm going Jazz, Clippers just because I would just want to see the Clippers just fail. I wish they would have got beat by Dallas after they tanked to play Dallas. And so I'm just really looking forward to playoff P choking it off.
Oh, jeez. Man, I don't know. I don't know enough about these teams to just picture the matchup. I think I'm going to go with Suns Nuggets here. Not that I'll watch that game and be like, okay, now who's who? Really? I mean, because I don't ever watch either one of those teams. I don't, never. But you know who their good players are. I mean, you know that there's a lot of excitement in their given fan bases. So it'd be a lot of fun to see it. I'm going to go with that. Just for, first of all, I would pick Nets Bucks, but that's looking like a total blow. Yes. It's looking like a 4-0 sweep.
It is.
Sixers and Hawks, I mean, without Joel Embiid or with him just kind of banged up, and I don't care at all about the Hawks. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say Suns Nuggets. Like, give me somebody all new.
It's interesting because it's one of those, like we talked about in the first segment, we all want parity. It's kind of like in the NCAA tournament. We all want upsets in those first couple rounds, but you don't want to see crappy teams playing in the Sweet 16. You want the teams, the blue bloods, the coaches. That,
or a team
that
you got to sit there with a roster. And
yeah,
look at,
right. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's going to take a couple of years of us getting used to this kind of change into the guard in the NBA. Andy, Nick Saban signed a contract extension through 2028. He will turn 70 later this year. So at the end of his contract, he will be 77 years old. Do you expect Nick Saban to still be coaching Alabama at the end of his current contract in 2028?
I'm going to say yes, because I think he's part vampire. I don't think he lives a normal life. I think he just sort of lives in a cryogenic chamber inside the football complex. They take the chamber to games and stuff like that, but I don't think he has a real life. I think he's got it. He's got such a system there that I don't know that there's much stress to any of that. 77 also is not all that old anymore. Americans are older and older all the time. When you got a job like that, that pays you, I mean, he has the finest medical care. He doesn't have to lift a finger if he doesn't want to. He's doing a job that he's really, really good at, just like, you know, instinctively good at. Yeah, I'm going to say he's still coaching then.
I think he's going to retire after his next national title. Now, he's already got one ahead of Bear Bryant. But one of those was at LSU. So he's tied at Alabama with Bear Bryant. I think he wants to clear Bear Bryant at Alabama. And when that is complete, he will then ride off into the sunset. Mark it down. Mark the tape.
He doesn't seem like the ride off into the sunset type guy to me. I think I'll go with Andy on this one.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
All right, Scott. Sean Roberts says some, how do I put this?
Dumb?
Interesting things on the Morning Rush each morning. But
yes.
One this week wasn't all that crazy to me. He asked if the Sculpture Park downtown was sponsored by Papa John's Pizza. Now, I know it isn't, but I will admit, when I showed up to the University of Iowa 20 years ago and I saw the Papa John business building on campus, my first thought was, wow, I didn't know the pizza chain was so into education. They would have a building on the University of Iowa campus.
Yeah.
It took me a while to understand there was a guy named John Papa John, a Papa John family that donated all these things. Scott, was there ever a time when you thought Papa John's Pizza sponsored all the Papa John things here in the state of Iowa?
Careful. We'll think you're dumb for the rest of your life.
I don't want to answer this.
Answer it.
Did
you think it up until right now?
No, I did. When I came back from Louisiana and was there, I was like, Papa John's, that's weird. Now, it didn't take me very long to come to understand what had happened. And then I have to say, it annoyed me for a while, being like, man, why can't you just change your last name? Because I know people from out of town are going to think the Papa John pizza chain sponsored this art display. And then, you know, then you come to realize how charitable they are. And they seem like good people, that family. So I have now grown up and it doesn't bother me anymore. But on this one, Sean is not unenlightened, except for the fact he's lived here for years now and has yet to ask himself that question well enough to actually investigate the answer.
They are spelled differently.
They are spelled.
Papa John is a unique last name, though. The thing is, I have known of the John Papa John, known of him, his wife, family, longer than there has been a Papa John's pizza. Imagine the Papa John family doesn't appreciate the press that has come with Papa John's Pizza's racist owner.
Almost certainly not.
No. It's not fair for me because I've known of them in Des Moines longer than there's been a Papa John's Pizza. So I did not think that. I could definitely see how people would think it is sponsored because, A, everything is sponsored these days.
Yes.
That would be a very strange last name to have, and it is.
It's wild that there's a last name, and it'd be like if your last name was, I guess McDonald's, right? If there's got to be a lot of people named McDonald in the world who hate.
Well, yeah, more people than are named Papa John, which I think is Greek, actually.
Yeah, I think it is Greek. Yeah,
but it is, and he's an art aficionado, he and his wife.
Yeah. My whole first semester at Iowa, because it's named like the John Papa John Business Building or whatever it is on campus, and I was like, I never knew that the guy from Papa John's Pizza was actually named Papa John.
It is interesting,
like,
too.
That was the fascinating thing to me, was, oh my God, that's perfect.
And then his parents decided to name him John.
Yeah.
It's like your last name is, yeah, I mean, your last name is, you know, McMichael, and your first name, well, let's call him Michael, you know, or
McAndrew.
McAndrew. Yeah, right, exactly. I play, you know, Willie Williams, William Williams, that kind of stuff. I mean, there are a lot of people like that. Played hockey with a guy named Shep Shepherd.
That had to be his nickname. Shep wasn't his first name, Andy.
I think it was.
No, it's not on the birth certificate. There's no way.
I think his first name might have been Shepherd.
Shepherd John Shepherd the second.
But yeah, I mean, you wonder. Well, I'm sure the sponsorship is not up for sale, and they wouldn't sell it to a pizza place. But
I mean, if you pay the right price,
be surprised.
Yeah, they don't even have to do anything about it. It's just it's kind of naturally built in there. If you're the pizza joint, you like it.
Yeah, right? this was one where I was listening this week, and I was like, you know what, Sean, it's not that dumb.
And good for him, and he's had dumber things.
Yeah, and good for him for actually like going on air and admitting. You know, a lot of people have thought that and would never admit.
Which is one of the great things about Sean.
No doubt.
Is he will just let this stuff out of the bag, yes. And then everybody laughs at it and has a good time with it. It's an interesting radio show segment.
Yes, give him credit for that. But also, can we also discredit him? Because sometimes I don't think he has any idea what he's walking into. When he says what he's saying, I don't think he ever thought, oh, I'm wrong about this, or
yeah,
I should know this.
He's not being brave. He's so naive that he doesn't even understand that the thing he's saying takes balls to say.
Yeah, the line between bravery and stupidity is quite thin.
I do want to go listen to the podcast, though, The Morning Rush, though, and listen to that part.
And Sean has such a big heart. He's really easy to like. Funny.
Good dude. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hour number two of the show coming up next. We'll start with Trending Iowa. It's Murph and Andy on a Tuesday.